Welcome to worship, everyone, on this glorious Easter morning when we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We've had a full and wonderful Holy Week, starting with Maundy Thursday, where we remembered Christ's Last Supper, then to Good Friday, where we were in awe of the crucifixion and what God had done for us. Then we started our prayer vigil, and that started right after the Good Friday service. Many of you participated in that. And part of the prayer vigil was to walk through the labyrinth and go to the various stations. In the center of that labyrinth was a cross. And you were asked to bring flowers and put it on the cross. It's over here this morning. I think it's a wonderful symbol of resurrection, don't you? The fact that Christ lives for us. We have nothing to fear, not even death. We do not fear death because Christ conquered that in his death and resurrection. So I'm going to say he is risen. You're going to say he is risen to indeed with all your heart. Are you ready? He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Let us worship God.
Pray with me, please. Loving, gracious God, we give you praise, for you forgive all our sins, you heal all our diseases, you redeem our life from the pit, you crown us with love and compassion, you satisfy our desires with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. When we lived in darkness, you gave a great light, and that light was Jesus. For our sin, you gave us Jesus, so that we will not perish but have eternal life. For our diseases, you gave us Jesus, who gave sight to the blind, strength to the lame, cleansing to the lepers, and health to the sick. For those in the pit of hopelessness and despair, you gave us Jesus, who became a friend to the outcast. And for our desires, you gave us Jesus, who told us to ask that it may be given, that our joy may be full. You gave us Jesus, the bread of life, who fills our every hunger. You gave us Jesus, the light of the world, who grants us wisdom. You gave us Jesus, the gate and the good shepherd, who keeps us safe and fills us with peace. You gave us Jesus, the resurrection and the life, who heals and restores us. You gave us Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, who made us whole and gave us the confidence to stand. You gave us Jesus, the vine, so that we could belong. But when you gave us Jesus, we nailed him to a tree and mocked him. And he suffered and died. And once again, we walked in darkness. But you showed your love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And when we killed him, you raised him and gave him back to us. On Easter Sunday, you gave us back Jesus. So gracious God, in your merciful mercy, we ask that you give back all of Jesus. For those in need, we ask that you give back the bread of life to meet every need and fill every hunger, including housing and employment and health. We remember June Brown and Judy Van Gastel and Cheryl Pasquinelli, that you restore them to health. For those in turmoil, we ask that you give back the light of the world so that we may have wisdom we need to navigate life's difficult problems. To those in danger, we ask that you give us back the gate and the good shepherd to protect us. We remember especially the churches in Egypt that were victims of the Palm Sunday bombings and ask that you bring peace to that region. For those who are grieving, we ask that you give us back the resurrection and the life so that the reality of the resurrection would bring us comfort. For those who are searching, we ask that you give us back the way, the truth, and the life so that we might stand with confidence of your love, fully rooted in the knowledge that we can come to you through him. And for those who are lonely, we ask that you give us back the vine so that we are connected, so that we have true friendships, and so that we know that we belong. Dear God, this Easter Sunday, we pray that you give us back all of Jesus. For you who did not spare your own son, but gave him back to us all, how will you not also, with him, freely give us back all these things? We pray for Jesus, all of Jesus, In the name of Jesus, we affirm our faith by proclaiming together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Listen to the word of God as told in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, starting at verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as a cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. And continuing on verse 19, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you."
Thank you. Let us pray together. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. 2,000 plus years ago, in the dark of morning, a large stone weighing about 2 tons was moved away from the front of a garden tomb. It didn't roll away by itself. It didn't move through the force of people. It was moved by the power of the God of resurrection. Here's a picture of a tomb, the way it looked in the ancient world, probably very similar to the tomb that Jesus' body was laid in. And as you can see, that 2-ton boulder right there is hemmed in both against the wall of the tomb itself, and then as you can see, there's an outside wall there to keep that rock from falling over forward. And what you might not be able to see in the picture is that that stone runs in a little gully, in a little trench that goes downward. So if you can imagine pulling that stone over the entrance, it would be going downhill, and then it would rest in front of the entrance at the lowest point in that gully or that trench front. So in order to move the stone away after it's been put in front of the entrance, you would have to push it up, right? Up that gully, and that would be very difficult to do. It would be much easier to move the stone down in front of the opening than to move it up the trench. But the scene that confronts the women who come to the tomb with their spices that first Easter morning was exactly that the stone had been rolled away or moved over. Standing away from the tomb's entrance, that boulder declares the essence of the gospel message, that all barriers have been removed between us and God, that our sins have been forgiven or rolled away, that death has been conquered. Now, we couldn't do it on our own strength, no way. No matter how hard we tried, we couldn't move that big boulder up that incline. Just like we couldn't fix the separation between us and God. There was no way we could have handled that. We couldn't have handled it by being really good people, because God's standard is so much higher than we can ever attain on our own strength. And we couldn't fix that separation between us and God by being super religious, because religion is so often about human effort, isn't it? Rather, the author of life, God himself, has moved that stone for you and me by giving his life for us. Heaven's gates are open wide. Your sins are forgiven. All barriers are gone. You couldn't move that stone, but God did. What you couldn't accomplish, God did it for you. Now, I'm not here this morning to try to prove the historical fact of the resurrection. There is a booklet out on the table in the lobby out there that has so much objective evidence in it that you can pick up on your way out. And there's so much evidence that I would spend my whole time up here going through why the resurrection has such historic veracity. But if you are here for the first time this morning, please know that Presbyterians, we don't check our brains at the door when we walk in here. We are an educated, thoughtful people, and we ask hard questions. But when you look at the facts, there is more evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ than you can imagine, more than most historic events that we count as fact. If you take this seriously, it's harder not to believe in the resurrection than to believe it actually happened. I also want to put a plug in for a movie that's out right now called The Case for Christ. There's a sheet on that out at the table as well. Encourage you to see that movie, take that pamphlet, and come and talk to me. I love to talk to people about this pivotal event, unprecedented event in human history. Now back to that 2-ton stone. I want you to get that there is a certain wry humor to this boulder-moving God. This morning, Todd read John's Gospel. And yes, in that Gospel, it said that the stone had been moved. And it's not evident so much in the English when we read John's Gospel, although some translations do allude to this. But you can interpret what John says in the Greek, in the original language, as not simply that the stone was moved to the side of the entrance a little bit, allowing for a small opening, but the text can be interpreted that this boulder was literally picked up and moved elsewhere. Picked up and moved elsewhere. Lifted up, so to speak, and placed down in a different place entirely a few feet away. As if to say, you think this boulder is so big? You think you can guard this tomb and keep a dead Jesus inside with a rock? You think that a 2-ton stone barrier is going to thwart my plan? If you think that, you've got another thing coming. Believe me, God wasn't struggling to lift that stone away that first Easter. God wasn't flexing his muscles and huffing and puffing and sweating, trying to move that boulder up the incline a little bit. Rather, God just picked that 2-ton ton stone up and moved it over from here to there. The wry humor here, characteristic so often of Jewish humor, is a humor that laughs at our human efforts, our firewalls, our rocks, our Roman seals, our guards in front of the tomb. Even evil itself that wreaked havoc at the crucifixion pales in comparison to the power and goodness of the living God. It's as if God says to evil, you know, are you done yet? Are you done yet? Now watch me work. Did you know that the Greek Orthodox Church, the day after Easter, is very special for them? You know what they do the day after Easter? It's reserved for everyone to come together, party, and tell jokes with one another. Why is that? Because for the Greek Orthodox Church, Easter is the biggest joke against evil and darkness and death and the futility of human effort to thwart God's plan that anyone could ever imagine. Maybe we should start that tradition here. See you tomorrow. That big old stone, barring the entrance to the tomb, rolled in place by human hands, was supposed to be a daunting reminder to everybody of death's permanence, solidly locked into place at the bottom of that sloping trench. Picture a goalie for the Sharks. You know, they're doing really well right now, in case you didn't know. But you're not supposed to get by that goalie, right? That was what the old boulder seemed to be all about. You can't get by death. That boulder rolled into place by a human said, well, that's that. No exit from here. No one gets by me. You can't score. And it did seem futile, didn't it? It seemed that way for 3 long days as Jesus lay in that tomb. Just as certain things in our own lives can seem insurmountable, inescapable, a dead end for us. And you know, it's easy to give into despair at times in this world when the stones don't seem to be moving in our lives. It seems in this world like evil has the final say, more often than not. But so often, what seems to be the end is not the final word where God is concerned. Because the word despair and the word dead end doesn't exist in God's vocabulary. It seems like a dead end. And it seemed that way when Jesus lay inside that borrowed tomb and the stone stood over the opening and darkness descended and cold crept in. It seemed like the boulder meant the end of the story. It looked like that big stone was crying out, this is it, it's over. But it only seemed that way because on that first Easter morning that we celebrate today with millions around the world, while it was still dark, something stirred inside that tomb. And the great joke God was playing on death, it got started. The very life of the living God who created all things and through whom all things exist and have their being. That same God who breathed into Adam at creation and made a living, breathing human, breathed into the battered, wounded and bruised corpse of his beloved son, his wounded son that God had so willingly given to the world he loved. On the third day, lying there, limp and lifeless, in the cold, murky darkness, Jesus' body begins to move and stretch and grow warm again. Despite the massive 2-ton stone at the entrance, God comes in and does a resurrection miracle. And then he moves the 2-ton stone. God always moves barriers that keep us away from him. It's what he does. It's his specialty. No matter what the price, no matter what the cost, God will do anything to get to us. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that can separate us from his love. All we need to do is say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And all the boulders, all the barriers between us and him roll away. As the stone stood there, now in a new place, with the empty tomb open and accessible, the stone now declared a new message. Surprise! Death is not the end. The story doesn't end here. The author of life is stronger than the enemy of death. And the punchline to the joke God played on death? Christ is risen indeed. Christ is risen. No barrier we erect can ever keep God out. And heaven laughed at death. A church in a remote area of India was showing the Jesus film, maybe some of you have seen that, to an audience filled with people who had never heard the gospel before. And the place was packed. Little children sat in the front on the floor, and people were crowded in the aisles. Some of the adults were standing in the back. As the story of Jesus' crucifixion unfolded, there were tears and audible gasps. They couldn't believe what was happening. The horror and pain of Jesus' execution was overwhelming. And as the people watched, terrified, one young boy suddenly spoke up. "Don't be afraid, everyone," he cried out. "He gets up again. You can laugh. I saw it before." Heaven laughed at death that first Easter morning, and it was a joy-filled laugh. It was, "Now we can be together again," kind of laugh. Have you ever watched families being reunited in the airport greeting area there, where they hug each other, you know, for long periods and are so glad to be together again? There's something so right, isn't there, about being together in love with those we love, and something so wrong about separation. And when Jesus died and rose again on the cross, he made it possible for us to come back into a close, intimate relationship with him. And that's why in another text, when Mary saw the resurrected Christ, he said to her, "I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And for us in our lives, in our own struggles and doubts and fears, the life of God always triumphs in the end. If we dare to trust and we dare to listen, God still moves stones for us all today. Relationships, jobs, finances, our spiritual doubts and fears, resentments, illnesses, conflicts. And yeah, sometimes we have to wait a while, don't we, for those stones to move. Sometimes it may seem as if God is not there. Sometimes dark things creep into our lives and we feel as if we can barely hold on. But I'm here to encourage you to hang on if you're in that boat this morning, because those big old stones will move for you. Just like that stone moved on that first Easter morning. If you trust the one who loves to play jokes on death and despair and dead ends and hopelessness. Andrew Murray said, "A dead Christ I must do everything for. A living Christ does everything for me." That's the message of Easter. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning that might be so obvious, okay, but sometimes we can miss the obvious. Now, I've been talking a lot about the stone being moved this morning and what that says for us as Christians, the hope that it gives us. But let me ask you to just think about this a moment. Why did God move that boulder, really? Why did God roll that stone away and put it in a different place? Was it so that Jesus could come out of the tomb? No, that wasn't it at all. Because if you were listening to the scripture, and I hope that you were being read this morning, the second part of that text was that Jesus came through a locked door, appearing to his fearful disciples, remember, and said, "Peace be with you," and showed them his hands and his side. But so he came through a locked door. Jesus didn't need an opening to get in and out of places after he was resurrected. Peter Marshall, a famous Scottish preacher and chaplain for the U.S. Senate back in the day, said years ago, "God didn't move the stone so that Jesus could come out of the tomb. God moved the stone so we could get in, so that we could go in." This great joke on death that God accomplished, this unprecedented, never again repeated occurrence that a dead man would come to life again, this great gift that God accomplishes for us demands a response, folks. Folks, this is our miracle. This whole life of Christ, the death and resurrection, that was done for us by God. And the stone moved by God, leaving the tomb open, cries out to us, enter in. Come and see. Come in and make this your miracle. You're invited into this event. Come in and get involved in this reality, because this is the truth. Notice this. Touch, see, recognize who I am and what I've done for you. The stone was rolled away, folks, so we could come in. The scripture that we read this morning tells us that when the women went to the disciples and told them that they had that the body was missing and they had seen Christ is risen, Peter and John, they're the ones that start off toward the tomb. And they're running. But the first disciple, John, outruns Peter and gets to the empty tomb first. And here, of course, the tomb is wide open for him. And when John arrives first, he kneels, he peers in, but he doesn't go all the way into the tomb right away. He's cautious, careful, thoughtful. Maybe he's a little afraid. He's not quite sure what this is all about. Now, some of you may be in that boat today, just looking in at Easter from the outside, wondering about all this, carefully assessing, but still keeping a reasonable distance from entering into this miracle with all you've got. Because you know if you do fully enter in, it will change everything. And then Peter catches up to John. So John's at the tomb. Peter catches up to John. He was older, and so he didn't get there quite as quickly, couldn't run quite as fast. He catches up to John, and Peter in Scripture is known for his impulsivity. Peter jumps out of boats and makes all these declarations. And in this case, he pushes right past John and goes into the tomb with no hesitation with all he's got. So John, seeing Peter, goes in, then follows, looks around, observes the linens that had wrapped Jesus' body, and then we have these marvelous words. He saw and believed. He saw and believed. So I want to ask you this morning, how are you entering in to the miracle of Christ's resurrection today? What is your response? You may be more cautious, like John, careful, observant, assessing what this might mean, asking questions and pondering. Or you may be more like Peter, jumping in with both feet and saying, yes, Lord, I'm all in. It doesn't matter your style or approach. The important thing is that both Peter and John entered into the reality of the empty tomb that day in their own way, at their own time. But both ended up going in eventually, and John saw and believed. And I would invite you to do the same, to enter into this miracle, to respond, to get it, to see and believe this reality. Because if this really happened, folks, and you know I believe in my whole heart with millions of others around the globe that it did, we ought to be sold out completely to a living God who would hold back nothing from us, who still moves stones for us all the time when we trust him, who breaks every barrier down to be with us again and again, and in whose presence death dies, heaven laughs, and eternal life is born. Don't you want to get to know a God like that? Enter into the reality of the empty tomb, the stone lifted up by God's power, no longer a barrier, but a witness. Cries out to us today, he is risen indeed. Come and see. Let us pray together. Lord God, we're so grateful for what you've done for us. We don't know why you want to be with us so badly, but you do. Lord, help us to enter into this miracle fully. Lord, if we've known you before, we just ask that we'd be able to rededicate ourselves to you completely, because this miracle demands a response. And if there's anyone here, Lord, who doesn't know you, may they simply pray the prayer, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and experience your resurrection power, experience your love, and know that their sins are forgiven. Lord, have mercy on us in our weakness. Help us to believe and help us to love you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all our mind this Easter. In Jesus' name, amen. May you go out in joy. May you know the living Christ. May you recognize his presence with you always. And may you be filled with the fullness of God. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.